Blog Talk Radio.
Introducing the first ever Sierra EV Denali Edition 1. With 754 horsepower and up to a GM estimated 400 miles of range on a full charge, it is the Denali of EVs.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the Text Now app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
I've been lost and I've been found. I've been around this life, but I'm no better now. Always down the same old road. Heaven knows I've tried, but what does heaven know? When the flames reach for my soul, where do I go? Where do I go? What do I believe? When I'm on my knees, I know my faith I need. What do I believe? All the signs I see, I'm praying as I'm bleeding. What do I believe in? What do I believe in? What do I? Shining through my bones, I hope it's healing all the darkest sins I hold. When the flames reach for my soul, where do I go? Where do I go?
Products of WBNN, this is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman. On air now from Lagos, Nigeria, dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Today, we are going to be discussing healing from shame with our special guest, Valerie Lemmy. Before we begin, I want to say thanks to everyone for supporting my show. I want to especially thank the ONE Dynasty family for all of their support, as well as the support I received from Brother O. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to share my point of view. I want to take another moment to mention again to you what my show, Breaking the Silence, is all about. It's about healing and creating a sacred space for women and men. This show is about women and men healing and making healthy choices after being oppressed. We are here to step outside the oppression and trauma, accept the power that is yours naturally. We are here to give each other permission to be spiritual and create our own loving, creative reality. The men that are here to for healing also and to find their perspective and fulfill their spirituality. Therefore, we are here at this time in this space to understand and clarify our own identity, and we need to turn to one another to do that, and we want to do that here by discussing some difficult topics. I'd like to begin with a quote by Diane Langberg, clinical psychologist. Every time we treat someone with dignity rather than shame, respect rather than disregard, concern rather than exploitation, kindness rather than brutality, and careful attention rather than turning away, we are doing things that reverse trauma. Shame can be defined as a feeling of embarrassment or humiliation that arises in relation to the perception of having done something dishonorable, immoral, or improper. Shame is a painful feeling we all experience at one time or another. It often involves a deep-rooted fear that someone is going to find out about a mistake we made or a character flaw that we have. When we feel shame, we want to hide it from everyone, and it can lead to isolation and suffering. People who grow up in an abusive environment can easily get the message that they are undeserving, inadequate, and inferior. In other words, that they should feel ashamed. Over time, intense feelings of shame can take hold of a person's self-image and create low self-esteem. Feelings of shame often stem from what other people think. The person may become super sensitive to what it feels like, to what feels like criticism, even if it isn't, and may feel rejected by others. Valerie Lemmy, CHT, is a whole life and self-healing coach. After trying to find happiness, purpose, and healing, she finally gave up for her clients. 39 years, exhaustive and committed search left her feeling worse than ever. Then she found Ty Kane and his future visioning, success, and healing system. It allowed her to heal physically, emotionally, and spiritually. But she had to become a spiritual badass. And to tell the truth, you too can heal quickly and easily by connecting to your brilliant future. You can have fulfillment, happiness, and success. You can have it all. Valerie Lemmy, are you there?
I am. Yes, Mo, I am here. And it's so cool to be here with you.
Wonderful.
I'm just thrilled. Yes, yes. I mean, we know each other, which I'm really happy about. And to see you with your professional interviewer, radio host extraordinaire hat on is just mind-blowingly awesome.
Thank you very much. You're too kind. You are too kind.
Now, no, I haven't even gotten started. I'm making it low. I'm setting the bar low. But anyway.
Okay, Bella, we're going to jump right in. Why don't people want to talk about shame?
Yeah. Well, like I loved what you were saying. It's a painful experience. It's also, if you've ever, and any of your listeners who are listening in, can recall a moment of shame, you can recall that it's a sinking feeling. It's funny because you blush, right, when you're embarrassed, like if something comes up, but it's a heat, but also there's a sinking in, there's a collapse. And that makes us feel very vulnerable. And we go around thinking, there's something wrong with me. No one turns around and goes, I think there's something wrong with everybody. We don't make that presumption, right? So you think there's something wrong with me, and then you isolate. And so then you feel like, oh, this is a flaw, and I have to hide it. And actually, the interesting part of this is that all of that is not true. And if I'm really going to be the badass, right, I would say it's a lie. It's a lie. Because shame is actually a human emotion. And from, you know, your understanding previously to Future Visioning and Ty Kane, who created Future Visioning, you know that there are no negative emotions. All emotions are positive if they are expressed or released or truly felt and owned, right? So, So we try at all costs. We try at all costs in a relationship sense to avoid rejection and humiliation. And shame is both.
Oh, it's both rejection and humiliation.
Right, exactly. And so, and we are so afraid of that and being exposed to a situation where we will be laughed at or mocked or, you know, turned out of a certain situation. Whew, even talking about it, I can feel that, you know, fear. But
right.
The one thing, and the other reason, I believe, truly, Mo, most people don't like to talk about shame is because not too many people know how to really heal it.
Right.
And so then there's this whole feeling of, oh, my gosh, I'm stuck with it. So then what do? Well, you got to hide it. When you realize it can be healed, like you were saying, healing shame. So here's the thing that I want to say about that, and then I can get like your response or whatever, is that the other reason why I have to talk a little bit about future visioning here, even when we're talking about shame, is that some of the principles apply even when you're looking at shame. So all healing comes from the future. Think about it, right?
Right.
If your healing was here right now, you wouldn't have to go to a doctor. You could just say, okay, I want to be healed. That's it, right? Or call, you know, your whole life success coach or do a process that we do called communicating with your symptoms. And you can feel shame through that. You can, because it's in your body, by the way. And that's the other reason
right.
why I think we're ashamed of it, because we know we're carrying it around still. But if all healing comes from the future, and most people don't know that, then we are stuck with this feeling that I cannot get out of this. And then there's one other thing that I want to mention here, which Lazarus, who is a channel being that actually did this four-part process of shame, which I listened to, is very profound, once said that you're supposed to learn the antidote or the solution to shame, healing shame, by the time you're 3 years old. We were supposed
wow.
to have been taught. Yeah. And the solution is the feeling of remorse. The feeling of remorse that something wrong happened. And
good. So you can tell us the difference between
yes.
shame and remorse then.
Oh, yeah. Very, very, two very different experiences. So shame is the experience of the wound or the lack, right? And then
right.
remorse can be two things. It can be, I know that, okay, so you got to be careful here. So let's
mm-hmm.
talk about if you did something to someone else, okay?
Okay.
If you did someone to someone else, like you hurt their feelings, right? Let's just say as an example. And then they say to you, oh, my God, that hurt me. Instantly, if you will be willing to accept that you had a negative impact on another person, you will not only, you will be shamed in a way, but then if you are able to have empathy and real feeling, you will feel the remorse and the feeling that you're sorry that you just hurt that person. And being able to feel it and then say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry that I hurt you. Boy, oh boy, could you imagine if the world, we walked around saying that more? And,
wow.
And now here's, right, right. But if the shoe is on the other foot and you have been perpetrated upon, and some of us have, and the shame that we carry is so profoundly deep because we may have had an adult dump on us as children, and because they didn't know how to heal their shame, and this is something that I think we talked about from time to time, shame that is not healed gets passed down.
Generationally.
Gets passed. No, not just, yes, generationally, but also just from teachers to students and also peers.
Right.
Yeah. Shame that's not healed gets passed on to whoever is around you.
Wow.
So because we don't know, and feeling remorse is a very painful experience because you have to admit, I made a mistake. But shame, okay, here's the cool difference. Shame is the feeling that you are a mistake. So you can't feel, it's not okay to make a mistake if you are a mistake.
Right. Okay.
You get that?
Yeah, so then it's true that shame stops you from feeling remorse.
If it's not right, if you're not taught how to go into the remorse, you will get stuck in the shame.
Okay, all right.
So,
okay.
Right, so it's not like shame stops you from feeling remorse. It's just we were never taught that that is the proper, because most of our parents didn't do that either as an example to us. Really show, I'll give you an example. One time, we were on a call, and Ty, a group call, that's cool, they happen every month. And Ty asked the question, what is the emotion that you hate the most? And I just scribbled really fast because I knew which one I hate. I said, remorse. This was years ago. And I had to look at it, right? But because it's the most vulnerable. Shame is a vulnerability, but if you hide it, then you think nobody sees it. But as soon as you are remorseful, you have to make an overture toward
right.
a compensation, a demonstration, and it brings it to the surface, and it brings it to the public, whoever that public is. It might be five people. It might be one person. It might be yourself. So we hate pain. As human beings, we'll do anything not to feel pain.
I hear you.
So hence, so if, we won't. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
So if you did something to someone, that leads to the feeling that of them saying that you hurt me, and that leads to a feeling of empathy, which leads to remorse. And
right.
You,
and
because you're saying, I'm sorry for hurting you.
Right. And if you think that the person saying you hurt me is going to put you in danger, then what do? You become defensive.
Right.
Well, I didn't really mean that. Well, you're oversensitive. So you want to cover up.
Mm.
You want to cover up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right now, we're going to have a track next by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame disc jockey Brother O. And we're going to come right back to you, Valerie. Okay.
Thank you.
This is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman. On air now from Lagos, Nigeria, dial in at 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Today, we are discussing healing from shame with our special guest, Valerie Lemmy, who just shared with us the difference between shame and remorse. Did you have anything you wanted to add to that, Valerie?
While I was listening to that beautiful song, I was thinking about how, not the difference between shame and remorse, but just how personal and interpersonal the whole subject of shame is, how it's ubiquitous and pervasive. In other words, Mo, we are born into this. It's not, and I love the one expression that I heard when somebody was explaining it. Not too many people get to grow up without shame. It would be like dodging raindrops in the middle of a, rainy day. You're bound to get wet, you know?
Right.
And
right.
All of us in one form or another have this.
Wow. Well, you said something interesting. I think my next question will hit on that. How does religion influence shame?
Yeah. Well, that's really interesting. I will talk about my own experience. I think that's really powerful. And I was raised Catholic. And there's even this thing that you do, mea culpa, like in Latin. It's like, I'm so sorry. Yeah, but what are you sorry about? Oh, I'm sorry that I sinned. Okay, well, what are your sins? And it's not bad to be sorry, but it's because you believe that there is a God that is going to judge you and in the end, decide your fate of where you're supposed to go. And I remember being somewhere in like grade school and finding out about this, dividing of a sheep, sheeps and goats. This is what you're taught if you read the Bible. And there's a lake of fire and there's heaven. And God will decide which one you're going to be. And I was sitting there reading this and talking about it, the teacher going, I have no idea which one I am. And what if you're wrong? Like, this is what I think my 11, you know, year old brain was saying. Well, what if I make a mistake? What if I'm wrong about what I think is a sheep and I end up being a goat? And by the way, when you go to the lake of fire, and this is the stigma of shame and how religion does it, you go there forever. When you go to hell, in the religion I was taught, you go forever. There is no forgiveness in the process. It's just eternal damnation.
Right.
And also, they teach you that you're born with original sin. Like, it's not even like you did anything yet. The baby is there, pure, hasn't done a thing. You're a sinner.
Right.
So already the stigma that there's something wrong with you, that's what shame is. And religions are one of the ways that bring that about and create the lack of it's not arrogance to think that you're capable. It's actually healthy human.
Okay. Interesting. But I didn't mean to interrupt. We have a caller in the queue. We're going to keep on that topic, but we have a caller in the queue. Caller, can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Yo, this is Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia.
Hello,
check this out.
How are you?
What's up, Mo? How you feeling?
I'm doing
fabulous, you know what I'm saying? Doing what I do best. Guess what that is?
What's that?
Absolutely nothing. You know what I'm saying? But check this out. I'm over hearing these things, right? And we doing these things. I'm hearing shame about this, and how we gonna elaborate on that is this. You know what I'm saying? There's a saying in regards to faith where it says that the highest, you know, the faith, having faith is 60 to 70 odd branches. The highest is which? Is to declare that there's no God worthy of worship except one God. And then the lowest of which is to remove something harmful out of the path of others. And a sense of shame is a branch of faith, where when you have shame, you know what I'm saying, this means that you're a person that's going to think before you act out in things. You're going to have some type of sense of modesty about yourself before you say things and act out on things, you know what I'm saying? Where if you don't have any shame, you know what I'm saying, you'll do anything, you'll say anything, you know what I mean? You know, got people that walk in the crowds, you see children there, you see elderly people there, and they'll say the most outlandish thing ever, the most, you know, belligerent thing ever, you know what I'm saying? Where that's a person with no shame, where you're supposed to have shame, you know what I'm saying? Because this is a sense of shyness. This is a sense of modesty. This is a sense of a person that's not an arrogant person or none of these type of things. That's the total opposite of it, where people will hear shame, where, oh, he shamed me. No, yeah, you're supposed to be feeling shameful for whatever that is. You know what I'm saying? Shame is something that you're supposed to carry around with you as a person of faith. You know what I'm saying? Where that this is a branch of faith, having shame for yourself, because you're going to be careful and cautious of what you say and what you do in front of others, because you want to implement whatever it is that you ascribing yourself to. You want to implement that in the purest form and fashion, so you have a sense of shame before you say things or do things. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I got on that. You know what I'm saying? I'm Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, you know what I'm saying, where we have senses of shame, you know what I'm saying, and we don't curse old ladies out when they acting rude in Walmart. Check your satellites.
Thanks for calling. I think you were referring to your sense of conscience when you were referring to shame. That was what I kind of got out of that. What about you, Valerie?
Yeah, conscience, personal responsibility, morality, mm-hmm. and that doesn't have to be the shame that we're talking about is the, how can I say this? Kind of like the net, the net, the dampening of the true human spirit.
Right.
What stops you from being actually the wonderful person that you can be. See, I don't know why we have this idea that if we were our very, very best selves, that we would be a terrible person. That does come from religion. I'm sorry, it does, because we actually think we need God to tell us how to feel and how to think and how to act. No, not at all. And the fact is, my experience of God is that it's inside of me and outside of me. And that, yes, it guides me. And you can call it a he. I also believe that there's a goddess, which is the feminine divine. And that is available to all of us. So if we come from that place of the truest resonance of humanity, you don't need shame. But you see, I did find that shame is an emotion. So you can't get rid of it. It's just that we get stuck in it. And then we
right.
think we're worthless. You see, that's the thing. There's something wrong with me. There are children who have parents who burn them with cigarettes. And when the psychologists go and talk to the children, what the child comes up with was, I didn't love my parents as much as I should have. I should have been different, so they didn't do that to me.
Right.
That's the unhealthy shame. And like your last caller said, of course there's healthy shame. There is. And that's when the remorse, and then there's forgiveness. And that's what remorse leads to. Shame in and of itself does not include forgiveness at all.
We're going to get right
back
to
that. So I
guess
you could say, yeah, sure.
We're going to get right back to that. We have a track next by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame disc jockey, Brother O.
hands.
Thank you for that track, Brother O. That was This Is Only the Beginning by Steel Feather. This is a product of WBNN. This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Please dial in at 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Today we are discussing healing from shame with our special guest, Valerie Lemmy, and we were just discussing how religion influences shame. And you were speaking about a psychologist, Valerie. You brought up a psychologist and how the child feels shame.
Oh, yes, when they're being abused. And instead of thinking and understanding this is an abusive parent, they think that there's something that they're not doing correctly. And so because the need for love is so profound in childhood, the need for belonging. Now, here's the interesting part. That flips when we become teenagers, and then we're like so pissed off. Hey, wait a minute, you guys, you didn't give me what I needed. You didn't give me what I wanted. And then that's the, like, F you that happens. And interestingly, like, I just was thinking about this, you know, there are sometimes people from a place of shame, this is very interesting, who think, I'm the only one. You are all screwed up. That, believe it or not, I know that sounds crazy, but that comes from shame. And these are the people that climb the tower or go to McDonald's or the schoolyard and mow down all those rotten so-and-sos because I'm all right and no one else is. All of this. So that's just another way that it comes up. That really, even those people who act out so violently are filled with shame that they cannot admit and cannot allow themselves to feel.
So I was reading some of the Lazarus material too. Are you describing a payoff? The payoff of physical, emotional, financial, or relationship problem or painful experience. You have a payoff to avoid the shame?
Oh. Well, of course. One of the payoffs is that you get to control instead of, like, one of the things, like, in other words, a person doesn't come up to you and go, you know what? I don't think I'm forgivable. What I've done is so terrible. I don't think I'm forgivable. They become unforgiving.
Ah.
So that leads to martyr, self-pity, victim. So that's manipulating through that kind of that way. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Or let's say they think they're less than. I'm not prepared to deal with life because I have this shame. So you start controlling other people to cover up. You start manipulating and bullying.
Mm.
A lot of bullies really are filled with shame.
I would have never thought that.
I know, right?
that really doesn't even sound like it goes hand in hand, but it does, though. When you think about it does.
Well, because there's different ways that people handle it. You know, the other way that shame distorts and twists us. And if it isn't handled in a healthy way. So you don't go around, like, for instance, like, let's say, you don't go around thinking, oh, you know, I don't have any needs and wants. I've never developed myself enough to know what I really want or what I really need. No, instead, you become other-oriented. So you actually live in a state of foggy perception and you try to please everyone else because you know you're not pleasing yourself. So these are some of the ways that, yeah, that shame can distort.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
We have a caller two in the queue. Caller, can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Hi, peace and blessings, Sister Mo, and peace and blessings to you, yes.
Hello, Sister Bessie. How are you?
Okay, I'm enjoying your show. You know I always have something to say. But I just wanted to say, since the subject is on shame, I have, yes, I have shame that I probably haven't dealt with. And I have, you know, in my life so many things have happened, but I have a shame that I was an addict. I look back as a child because I went to church as a child, and I was raised a different way. And when I became an addict, you have to do to survive out there. And that point of my life, I have not gotten away from the shameness of that and how people judge you. And it's like they're saying, you shouldn't be where you are because you was a drug addict. Mm. And I saw you.
Wow.
And but they don't know that you walk around with the shame and the pain that you lived in that environment. And it's like they make a judge of you. It's like you can't change and be somebody else, that the universe can't help you and you become a new person. And I still walk with that shame in me from being in that environment because I knew where I came from. So I wanted to ask your guests concerning that, because a lot of people, if you leave an environment and you become higher when you leave the bad environment, and then mm-hmm. people turn around and look at you and say, you're not supposed to be there. So what do you think about that?
Mm. Well, first of all, I want to thank you so, so much for your vulnerability and your honesty, Sister Bessie. That was so heartfelt. And, yeah, that's you've just basically described the imprisonment of shame. So it means that even though you have left it, still there for you as a shadow. So what I would ask you, if you know, I hope I can talk to you, is what would it look like, what would it feel like in the future if you were healed from the shame? That's the first step. The first step is imagine, use your imagination, and mm-hmm. what picture do you have? What's the possibility that you see that you could become if you no longer had that feeling inside of you? Can you imagine that for a moment?
Yes, I do. I can imagine it.
Okay, and
probably,
tell us. Yes.
Probably be in a better position than I am now. That's what
How
I think.
So? Yes, but what do you mean by better? If you can be specific.
Well, see, in some ways, I have been healed because I'm also a podcast host on this network. So in some ways, I have been healed. I have overcome some of the
mm-hmm.
shame, but some of the shame is still there.
Okay. So, right, of course, because one of the future visioning principles is if you look for a simple answer, you will have a difficult and frustrating life. But if you embrace complexity, you will have an easy, flowing life and partly healed. You know, like if you had guests coming over, would you give them a partially cooked chicken? Well, it's kind of cooked,
yes,
but not all the way. And so, and you would be apologizing because you know that, well, it's kind of cooked over here, but it's really raw in the middle. And, so for us to be honest with ourselves is the first really wonderful step here. But what would it feel like inside of you, even if you can close your eyes right now and imagine that not only that you were free, literally free, because you had, because it goes like this, the shame created in the first place, having a dark and dreary future about what you deserved and what you were able to do. Then out of the shame, you threw yourself into that circumstance. And if you don't feel the remorse, the pain that drove you there in the first place, and that's the tough part if you don't have the future. But if you go into the pain and you reclaim the dignity of who you really are, an incredible, powerful spiritual being having a human experience, and then you feel the remorse, not of the judgment of other people, Sister Betsy, but that you placed yourself there. The lack of self-love, because shame certainly is a lack of self-love and self-worth and self-esteem and self-respect.
Mm-hmm.
So that you, and one of the things also that I've learned from doing this work, is that all time exists simultaneously. So as you're speaking about that you, that younger you, I know that she is as real as you are listening to me now. And she needs her day in the sun. She needs to be able to go into all the taboo emotions, the angers, the hatred, the wanting revenge or the manipulation through self-pity, et cetera, and then ultimately to feel the remorse and to forgive herself, yourself, and forgiveness transcends reality. It transcends.
Yes.
It literally, it dissolves. It dissolves the shame. The shame is no longer there.
Okay.
Did that answer?
Yeah. I'm sorry, what?
Yes. No, I was saying thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. So my recommendation, believe it or not, and I know this may sound arrogant, but it's not. The only people I know who can do that process from start to finish and do it well is Ty Kane, who lives in California, or myself, because I've been trained by Ty. And
yes,
it's expedient, it's quick, and it is profoundly life-changing. And
yes,
things just open up. Doors open up that were closed before because of us holding back from receiving the love of the divine that is flowing constantly toward us. And one of the elements is, I don't deserve it because, and fill in the blank, yours is addiction. Mine would be so many other things. Mine would be that I created abusive relationships in the past or went from relationship to relationship instead of finding my own sense of self. And I could sit down and cry you a river for that, really.
Yeah.
But if I forgive myself, forgiveness is the freedom that I'm looking for.
Mm.
So it sounds like you're already doing an incredible job, but there might just be even a splinter, right?
Mm-hmm. It takes, I know that it takes time for a person to forgive themselves. It takes time. So
why?
You have to work on it. And I think that's
why do you think it takes time? See, I don't think it takes time.
Oh, you don't think so?
No, not at all. I think it takes information and awareness, but not time at all.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's why if you are placed in a situation where you have access to your freed, whole, glorious self in the future and the you now that wants to heal, and then the addict in you, and they're all together and they process their emotions and feel everything, freedom is available in a very short period of time.
Okay. I work on it.
Oh, good. Oh, thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Sister Betsy.
Yes,
when
thank
you,
my dear. I just want to tell you, Mo, I love you, and I always enjoy what you bring to the table. And I want to thank your guest for her opinion. Thank you so much.
Thanks. You take care.
You're welcome.
Okay, we have a track next by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame disc jockey, Brother O.
You can do it.
Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman. We have caller 3 in the queue. Caller, can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
How you doing this evening, Mo?
How you doing,
Terry? This is Terry Strong. I'm doing great. I'm doing great. This is an outstanding show. I'm happy. Valerie, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, my God. Terry, I'm just so moved and touched and grateful, to honored to be here, and it's so nice to hear your voice.
Yes, it's so nice to hear yours. This is a very, very powerful topic that you guys are talking about, and you really caused me to think about some things, because one of the questions that I wanted to ask you, Valerie, like, it seems like, and you kind of answered it as you were going on, you were talking about some of the traits of people, of what it looked like when they suffer from shame. And it seems like everybody has it in some form or another. You just aren't aware of it, and we don't aware how it's sabotaging our lives, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just going to talk about that. In fact, as I wrote down the word right here, unconscious. As long as we are unconscious of any emotion, any intense state of being, a belief system, it runs the show, but it runs it in a crazy, out-of-control way. So becoming mm-hmm. conscious of our shame that we stuff down there anyway is so thank you so much, because I was writing as I was listening to that incredible song. What we've been talking about recently as we expand and grow into our awesome future selves that are free of shame, right? and willing to feel remorse readily, willing to forgive ourselves and others readily, is the process of inclusion rather than exclusion. So if you can really see the parts of you where you still hold your shame and accept it, embrace that part of you, allow it to be there, and then be willing to receive the healing from your higher self, your future self, and the universe, that shame can be healed for sure and disappear. Interestingly, go ahead.
But you have to do, so what you're saying is, but you have to do it with love and patience for yourself. Is that what you're saying? I just want to understand what you're saying.
Yeah, acceptance. It's really about accepting, embracing, and knowing that none of us, not a one, Monty Python used to have this expression, we're all bozos on this bus, and Ty loved that and used to talk about it. We're all bozos on this bus. None of us is perfect. There is no perfect human being. We all make mistakes. We all have flaws. And then we try to cover it up. Now, there is a truth that if you go around just blurting out, like, you know, inappropriately, that doesn't work either. There's decorum. But between you and you and the people that are important to you, for you to be aware of how that shame is stopping you from your success, from your happiness, from your health, because it does. It hurts all of those areas of your life. And if you're wanting that, then looking at the shame and becoming aware of it is an incredible process of self-discovery. So like when Sister Betsy just was talking about being an addict and she mentioned it, she said, this is what I did. Recognize that it's negative, it's a limited reality, like Mo was saying before about the payoffs. Yeah, this is where the process comes in. Recognize that I do carry the shame, and it's a burden, by the way. Shame is never, ever anything but a shame, but a burden. And I understand the other caller, maybe I think has humility and shame interconnected, and they're not. They really are not. Humility is the ability to face every day knowing it can be different now, I can change, and so can other people. Wow, just think about, Terrace, if you had that towards your shame, how would that feel for you right now?
It would feel awesome.
Yeah, right, exactly. So acknowledging is who do you blame? And, of course, there's going to be the shame associated with that. Who do you blame? And ultimately, the hardest part, and this is where Mo was talking about how, like, we get to say things here that are controversial, it all comes down to you. It all comes down to you. You've created every situation in your life, and that does not excuse someone who did wrong. That does not say they didn't do it, but you allowed it. You allowed it. And so you've got to forgive the part of you that allowed it. And when you forgive the part of you that allowed it, you won't allow it anymore because you're free and you can make a new choice. Like, wow, I don't want people like that around. I'm not the same person anymore. Like Sister Betsy was saying, you go higher, you expand. Right? So then that's where you know what you have to forgive yourself for. You feel the remorse for having done it to yourself and to others. And then you forgive yourself. And then out of that forgiveness comes the ability to change, just like any other process that I am aware of. Those four steps are always there, in one form or another.
Powerful. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on, Valerie. Look at you. That was a great show.
Thank you so much for calling in, Terrence.
Thank you, Terrence. Always
Brother
a pleasure.
Brother O, did you want to chime in?
No doubt. Valerie, you said something that's, you know, powerful in your last statement. I'm going to say using shame to power. I remember in 2016, and I'm being transparent at this time, things happened with our network, and I was doing a lot for children. And let's go to the whole story, right, Valerie? And I don't need a, anything after I say it. I'm going to play another track. But I just want to bring my testimony into the game, okay? When you work hard as a producer of a network, right, and then you're trying to help children when it comes down to breakfast and lunch programs, okay, and you're going through situations, right? So there's a paradox, right? And then you're going through war within your own company with decisions and people that should be allowed to be hosts no matter what's going on with their lives, what have you. And you have a split, okay, where, okay, I don't agree with you doing, Brother O, and you have people say, I do agree. And it got to a point where, you know, the whole network disintegrated in May of 2016, right? And I got a chance to say, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm through with it. And in my situation, it was shameful. But glory be to the powers that are in the universe, all in all, right? I had my god sister call me one day. And she said, what's going on, man? I said, what's up, Andrea? The great Andrea Presley on this network who's retired now, right? I said, I see you doing YouTube stuff. I said, yeah, I'm still out there. I said, what's that about? I said, what do you mean, what's that about? That's not you. I said, come on now. I don't want to hear this now today. She said, no. You need to get off that couch and start playing around because they're laughing at you. They're mocking you. Get off that couch and do your gift. And I said, what's that? She said, that's your music. It's your music. Don't let one, you know, tear you down to where you stay there. In shame, there should be power. I got off that couch, Valerie and Mo. Came back with a new network called Determined and Motivated. Now, listen to the name, right? Determined and Motivated Online Now. Did a show called The Dynamic Show Review. My god sister said, I will help you. And I mean, you know, till you get on your feet, I'm going to be there for you. There's people that love you enough to bring you out of a shame. To a point where I didn't want any more hosts, Valerie. No more hosts. I said, I'm going to do my show. And I really, really I'm really thankful to a young lady by the name of Teresa Tall. We all know her, right, Mo, as the outstanding and historic Miss Tia's Queen. She came to me and she said, listen, I'm going through some situations. I said, look, I'm not interested. But she said, I need you. That's all she said. I need you. And something just clicked and snapped in my spirit. She became my first host in that transition, out of shame into power. You hear what I just said? Out of shame into power. And then
that's right.
Mo wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. All the people you heard wouldn't be here if I didn't garner myself to be powerful indeed. And I'll say this right now to all the people out there, there's always hope. You can come out of any type of shameful situation. You can. You can do it yourself, but it's always good to have others. I'll say this very profound statement. I don't have problems. I have friends. We go to our next outstanding track by me, take another caller, and you know what time it is. Hey, Donnie, talk to us.
Went to your first parade. and how you saw that glorious marching band coming down the street. Well, try to imagine with me, if you will, that you were the first to see the band coming down the way, growing bigger and bigger, and your heart pounding harder and harder. It always seemed to me that my heart was in perfect time with the big bass drum. And remember how you got that go to glory feeling in your heart and in your mind and in your blood that some folks call religion. There are multitudes of people crying because they just won't try to understand. From the book I read, not one but all must follow him. Come and join the magnificent sanctuary band. There are multitudes, people dying. Seems like temptation rules over the land. You know those people should remember his commandment. Come and join the magnificent sanctuary band. Singing in a band, talking to a man, bringing in the sheep all over the world as fast as they can. Singing in a band, talking to the man, drop everything you're doing and join the sanctuary band. The Son of Man speaks of revelation. Oh, he's reaching out his hand. He has promised to bring us all salvation. Come and join the magnificent sanctuary band. Singing in a band, talking to the man, bringing in the sheep all over the world, fast as they can.
This is Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman. We have caller 4 and Q. Caller, can you please tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Yes, indeed. My tribal name is Huni Bakatun, and my pen and stage name is Master Tar Magic Man Haru. How you doing tonight, Mo Garman?
I am fine. How are you, Huni?
I'm doing excellent. I love this show. How you doing, special honor guest?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good to hear your voice, honey.
Hey, you know, I just want to elaborate on some sound advice. And I heard a lot of people break down some stuff, but, you know, to put it bluntly, is the illusion of time. A lot of people don't realize that time is an illusion. And as individuals, it's sort of like shooting yourself in the foot. And it's only because when we get to this side, a lot of people have learned certain things that created bad behavior. But when you remove the illusion of time, space, and energy, that changes the whole dynamic. And it took a while for me to get to that state so I can comprehend the mode of thinking that a lot of people have. And trust me, it took through trial and error. You understand? It took, you know, it took eight lifetimes previously before I got to this state for my life. So I really comprehend it on a level. But this time around, unlike the many times I did before, is like I write about it and I spoke about it many different times, is I studied me more than I studied any scripture, any other thing that I did in my life. So when you take time to put more attention to get to know my positives, my negatives, things I like, things I don't, you know, this, you know, things I like and things I don't like about myself, it makes me much more acceptance of who and what, you know, what I am and my purpose. So I definitely want to, you know, I wanted to say thank you so much for removing that blocker, because, you know, you shorten, man, even though it is an illusion, but if you remove that blocker, and time, or in the sense of a sickness, can be healed in an instant. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, you got a cold, you know, come to a head before it heals. No, it don't. The same way you think yourself into a cold, you can think yourself out of a cold.
Absolutely. I've even had that experience of, like, sitting there and going, oh, okay, scratchy throat, oh, my nose a little. Wait a minute. I think I don't want to get a cold. Snap. Everything disappeared. Literally just went away. I go, oh, okay. Now, you know, and the weird thing, though, about that, Hootie, is that I'm not always that on top of it, but I know that I've done it. I know that I've done it, and I know it's possible. And that's one of the things that I actually help. And I'm so happy to hear that you have experienced that. And, yeah, who knows how many lifetimes. I have no idea. But I can tell you this lifetime, 39 years. But then when I found what Mo and I are discussing tonight, instantaneous healings have occurred over and over and over again. Oh, and that fills me with gratitude and really the deepest joy. The deepest joy is healing. Healing brings the deepest joy. Isn't that cool to know that?
Yes, I love it. Let me say one more thing right quick. I love how you put it, because again, it's okay. It's okay to get off course. You see, once you know that it's okay, you understand, to get off course, knowing that you had the power to get off course, you also had the same power to get back on at any time that you want to. You see, so it creates a strong sense of power. That's empowerment right there. Let me say this right quick. I'm the host of We Will Aware You. My show will be November the 11th. There's a fourth in the room.
Oh,
on one side.
11/11.
Of the road, yeah. Well, yeah. Well, actually, it's November the 17th, but there's a fork in the road, this advancement I'm speaking about. On one side, you got white privilege, and on the other side, you got black ignorance. And you know what's crazy is I tried to do a post on good old Facebook, and it's all, oh, no, you can't, you know, we can't talk about content like that. Why not? Because there are certain things that the only way that we'll be able to actually heal ourselves and each other by stop speaking stuff up under the rug. There's two extremes, but there's certain things that's affecting our beautiful world that we live in. Okay, so you know, it's part of my duty for my 37 years in counting is to reach in the depthness of a lot of stuff that has blindsided it in a lot of different ways. I just wanted to add my little $9.99. Love you, Mo Garmin. Thank you again for your honored guest, okay?
Thank you, Hootie. We have a track next by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame disc jockey, Brother O.
The silence is snow white.
Breaking the Silence, and I'm your host, Mo Garman, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. Oh, look at that. It's in Ngozi time. Not quite in Ngozi time. We are going to have final thoughts from our guest. And Valerie, just want to know, any final thoughts from you today?
Yeah, I want to talk about how this whole subject, and thank you, Mo, for bringing me on and having the courage to talk about this. John Bradshaw was the person who really spearheaded the conversation about shame back in the 1980s. However, and as profound as it was, he missed something. And so I just wanted to bring that out here, that there is shame that we receive when we're infants. Literally, that means pre-language. Our parents are actually molding us through their shame-filled perspective. And then in childhood, there's another wave of shame that comes along. And the thing about shame is that it knocks you off course and you're not able to really become the individual and your own person that you want to be. Then in adolescent shame, that's usually when we go past our home life out into the world, create peer groups, and really learn about social interaction. And the shame that happens then is the deepest wound. And that's usually what we have to go back to truly, truly heal our adolescence. And this is the one that John Bradshaw didn't know about. The fourth wave of shame is adult shame. And what Brother O was describing was adult shame. And because he overcame it, what is now open to him is success, because adult shame is the biggest block you have to your success. So that's how the different waves of shame operate. And in order to really heal the shame, you need to heal all four. So that's really all I want to say. And I just actually want to ask you, Mo, what is your experience of, you know, talking about this really deep and profound experience tonight?
Well, I wanted to talk about it because for a long time, it took me a while to figure out what it was I was feeling. And it was a feeling of rejection and humiliation. I couldn't figure out where it was coming from, and it was coming from something from my past that I had done or whatever I had perceived that I had done. And it was more of my child's shame kind of rearing up. Mm-hmm. I was kind of going back and forth, and it was the adult that had done something to me, but I had owned it. I was owning their shame. So it was so profound to me that I wanted to bring this up to other people so that they would learn to heal from the different types of from shame, because it was so profound for me. Thank you for asking. Next, we go into Ngozi time.
Wow. Wow, what a beautiful, beautiful show tonight, Mo. And Valerie LeMay, it's so good to hear you again. I've heard you a few times on different shows, and it's so good to hear you again. And the callers that called in, and Brother O, your testimony, that was just absolutely amazing. And the topic tonight, healing from shame, wow. That is an awesome topic because so many people are still dealing with shame, and they've not healed from it at all because they don't want to think about it. They don't want to bring it up. And somebody does bring it up, it makes them shameful all over again. But there's nothing wrong with being ashamed, people. And you really shouldn't feel ashamed or be shamed about anything because God allows things to happen in our lives. And everything that happens is for either a reason or a season, a test and a testimony. So whatever we go through, God will always turn that thing around for us and let us see why we had to go through whatever it is that we're going through and why he allowed us to experience shame. And throughout my life, there was times that I, you know, experienced shame, but I always shook it off and, you know, I did not let it really get me down. And I was, for those of you that already know, I was a pastor and apostle for a long time. And I had many churches and churches in other countries as well. And then one day, after helping all the people I helped in ministry and people give their lives to God, and I watched God work all kinds of miracles, healing and deliverance and all kinds of works that were manifested. And so one day, I didn't have my four walls of a church anymore. And I used to always preach about getting out of the four walls of the church because God has not confined us to those four walls of a foundation made by man. But pastors and all the people of God are supposed to go out into the streets and minister to the people and meet them where they are. And so one day, God put me to the test, and I did not have my church. Now, listen, I went to my church and went to open up the door for this big revival. The doors were locked, and I could not get into my church. And that was so embarrassing because I had so many people out there waiting to get in. And that was the second time something like that happened to me. The first time was years before that. The same thing happened. And this was at a different church, my church I had in Philadelphia. But then God moved me into a bigger, better place. And this time, there was even more people. And I'm like, oh my goodness, it was really embarrassing, everybody. And the people that were there, they didn't feel embarrassed. So what we did, we had a service right out there in the parking lot of my church, and it was awesome. And from that moment on, God showed me, you always preach about going out into the streets now it's time to really go out into the streets. So I went into places I had really never gone before, not to really minister. So I used to go into nursing homes and juvenile delinquency centers and stuff, but now I was going into hospitals. I was going into the old folks' homes on a daily basis, starting Bible classes in the nursing homes and senior citizens and having church services there with them. And God took my ministry somewhere totally different. So I was ministering to people with mental illnesses and people that were like written off by everybody. And so I guess you could say I had like the derelicts and all kinds of things, but guess what? I watched God change those people's lives around. I watched him like take mentally disturbed people who people thought were crazy, and he healed their minds and they became sane. And this is the type of God that we serve. And so I don't care what you're going through today, people. Guess what? God can turn around and he will show you why he had to take you down a certain path. And when you are gifted and anointed, Satan will personally assign someone to bring you down just so your gift and anointing won't manifest. But the enemy cannot kill what God has anointed to live. He cannot stop who God has chosen to prosper, and he cannot block what God has called to manifest. So just stay prayed up and continue to be obedient to God and just do what if you feel that God has called you to do in your life and just watch him work. But remember, we're always going to be tested and tried. That's a part of life, but it's how you react, how you act, and how you overcome. Wow. So, Mo, this show tonight, very powerful, very powerful. And I have so many other stories I could tell y'all, but time is of the essence here, so I won't go into all my other stories and things that have happened in my life. But everything that has happened, it was for purpose. It was purposed and ordained by God. And I thank God for it because it all made me stronger and made me the woman that I am today. And if all of you would look at life that way and not be ashamed to tell people and give people your testimony, guess what? Your testimony is going to save someone else. It's going to help someone that's going through a situation, that same situation that you went through. So don't ever be ashamed to tell somebody about it. God is good. God is good. WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time and Oladele Milewe Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight? Oladele.ngozi@my.com. For our mother's and father's favorite producer, Oladele Milewe Ngozi, I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. And stay tuned Sunday night for News Forum, where I am your host and anchor. And this Sunday night will be the final series in midterm elections. And we're going to really go in on Sunday night because guess what, people? Tuesday, November the 8th is Election Day. And we got a lot to say about this election. And make sure you get out to vote, people, because our state is at stake. Our country is at stake. So the fate and state of our states and cities that we live in and our countries are all at stake this election. So make sure you vote. So that's Sunday night, News Forum, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, right here on WBNN, or you can tune in at www.blogtalkradio.com. Now, stay tuned as we go back to our host tonight, Mo Garman. Wonderful show.
Thank you very much, Chinchilla. I'd like to end with a quote by Diane Lamberg. But one by one, light breaks through and change is going to come. Remember, everyone, we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. And I want to thank our guest, Valerie Lemmy, for being with us tonight. And maybe she'll come back on a different date and we can finish up some of these questions, because I have quite a few left over. But, Valerie, thank you so much for being here, and I appreciate you. Have a good night, everyone.